Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 3. While you're doing that, if you can do two things at one time, would you just stand up? Maybe you need to just stand up first, then turn into the Bible. And when you get there, put your thumb there, turn around, and introduce yourself to your neighbor and say, "Hi, it's good to see you this morning." Never want to be too busy where you can't say hi. Amen? And from me to you, it is good to see you. You look good. Tell your neighbor, you look good today. Glad you're here. Husbands, tell your wives, looking pretty good today. All right. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 3. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the NIV today. So it says, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gates called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John before about to enter, he asked them for money." Let's just go on down. "Peter looked straight at him, and as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man looked at them and gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold do I not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called, at the gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is powerful. I thank you, Father, that your word is able to change, to equip, to direct, and to transform our lives. Lord, your word never grows out of date. It is current. It is applicable for our life in every single word. Lord, there is nothing greater. There is nothing higher. There is no greater authority in all of the world than your word. And Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And we ask, God, that you would help us to glean from your word, bring revelation to each and every heart, each and every spirit, each and every mind this morning. God, may it be revelation, may it be change to each and every person that is looking for the way and the truth and the life. We thank you for your word and we honor it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, as these two guys, Peter and John, were walking down the road, notice they were not in church when something like this happened. Notice they weren't being religious or had their hands pointed like this. Notice they were just going about their business. They were going to the temple gate. They were going to the temple to pray like they do all the time. And they were going about like a typical day. But then something happened to Peter. He saw this guy who he had seen every day begging at the gate called Beautiful. And he called him and he said, "Silver and gold, why, I don't have any of that. But what I do have, what I do possess, what I have revelation of, I give to you." And he went over there and he grabbed the guy's hand and he lifted him up. And the Bible says that he went around leaping and jumping and praising God. Guys, I want to explain to you this morning that that is the church in action. That whenever we are together as brothers and sisters, that the building is privileged that we are here. We are not privileged that we are in the building. Amen? And whenever the body comes together, when you and I come together in agreement as brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's power in agreement. It doesn't matter if we're going down to Walmart ourselves and we see a person that is in need like Peter and John saw. It doesn't matter if we're at the gas station or if we're on our way to church like we do every Sunday and every Wednesday. And God gives us an opportunity to speak His name. The Bible says that if we have opportunity, we are to do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. So the key here is opportunity. And last week I talked to you about foreign missions and the value of foreign missions. And this morning I want to talk to you about the value and mandate upon the church for home missions. Because Wilma is our home missionary. She is doing the work of the ministry. She is teaching young men and women who are engaging in what God has called them to do, to be missionaries everywhere they go. Whether it be in a classroom, whether it be out on a construction site, or whether it be in the court of law, or whether it be out there building roads or pulling teeth or whatever it is that you do for a living, you are missionaries everywhere you go, because you possess inside of you the very presence, the very love of God. You know, inside of us, we do not have the capacity to love completely. We just don't. Our love comes with stipulations. It comes with limitations. No matter how hard we try, no matter how many conferences we go to, no matter how many books written upon love that we can read, our love has limitations. Sometimes our love is dictated by our past and how it was bestowed upon us. But the way that we love this world, the way that we love our brothers, is not based upon our love, but it's based upon the love of the Father that is boundless and has no end. It's a love that is perfect. It's a love that is pure. It is a love that is limitless. Amen? Thank God that He loved me with an everlasting love. And God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. His demonstration of love cannot be demonstrated anymore because He gave everything. So when we pray and say, "God, show me more of Your love," He cannot do that because He has put it on public display through His Son. Our prayer should be, "Lord, may I be open to receive all of Your love. Help me to have revelation of all of Your love, because Your life counts." Say this with me: "My life counts." My life counts. Because You are the church. You are the church. And as we come together, As we agree with one another, as we worship one another, we become that bride, that thing that Jesus cherishes, that thing that Jesus loved and bled and gave his lifeblood for, the church. And as we come together as one entity, as a commissioned people, we feel and see the heart of God through his word that there is a lost and dying world out there. And he has commissioned not only us as a body, but us individually to display that limitless love. Amen? So the question is, how do we get from being a nice church to becoming a church on a mission? I'm going to be honest with you. I invest a lot of time and thinking and praying and talking with people on how can we make our church feel welcome? How can we make our field church, people when they come in feel welcomed and feel like that they're at home and make them feel comfortable and at ease and all these different things. And I put a fair amount of time into that. Why? Well, number one, I don't want you to come in and feel awkward. I mean, who wants to feel awkward when you come into church? It's awkward enough if you come in, it's your first time, and you don't know anybody, right? How many of you guys have ever been in that situation? Hey, maybe you're in that situation this morning. Well, you know, a church can be, a nice church can be, you know, something that we're doing everything we're supposed to do. We have Wilma Snyder coming in and teaching us about missions, and we have this whole month about missions, and we have a youth thing going now, and we have children going now, and we have people in the front that love to hang out with little kids, and we are a nice church. But being a nice church isn't good enough. We have a mandate on our life and a mandate on New Freedom Church to be a commissioned church. A commissioned church is something when the military is out on the battlefield and there's a command post. And in that command post, the general meets with all his officers. And he commissions them to hold the line over here, to send supplies over here, and to do this over here and this over here. And I want you to do this at this strategic time. And he gives each and every one of his generals a commission. And if one of his generals decides to just go rogue and say, no, I think he's wrong, I'm going to do it this way, then the battle could be lost and the war could be over. But if each and every one of us listens to the commission upon their life and on our life as a whole, as New Freedom Church, and we're to be about that commission, then we're making strides for the kingdom of God. Then we're moving forward. I don't measure our success on numbers. I measure our success on how we are obedient to the commission that he has uniquely designed New Freedom to be about. Amen? And it is your job and it is my job to be obedient to the command of the general, and that is God the Father. Amen? And when we are obedient to him, he will begin to do great things through our church and through our lives. Now, can you imagine the church in Jerusalem being called a nice church? Now, the church in Jerusalem, man, they were getting with it. They were causing division in people's families. They were disrupting the status quo in this big metropolitan area. They were advancing the kingdom of God. People were being persecuted. People were being mistreated. People were being put in prison. Why? Because they had a mandate on their life to advance the gospel. Now I said, they're disrupting families. What does that mean? Do you know that Jesus said one time that I did not come to bring peace but a sword? You know, Jesus said that. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. What does that mean? Jesus, in his essence and everything and every fiber of who he is, commands that we make a decision about who he is. And that decision sometimes severs relationships. Sometimes that decision severs relationships not only with friends, but families as well. Not that we're cut off from our families, but that we make a decision about who Christ is. I remember the day that I made a decision to follow Christ. And that decision brought a severance in my life, not because I wanted it to, but because of the mandate upon my life. Because I choose to serve the Lord. I choose to have my life represent Christ with everything that I am. It isn't because I'm holy or spiritual. It isn't because I'm more lofty than you. It's simply because I'm a man that made a decision about the claims of Christ. And you have a decision to make concerning your life on the claims of who Christ is and the gospel. The gospel is the good news, amen? The gospel is the good news. And we as a church need to be advancing that good news at every turn. Now, this is the role of the church in the world, to challenge, to call people to follow Jesus and to change. A church that is not missions minded is by definition not a church. When you read the book of Acts, we see a church of action and one that was centered and one that was concerned with the spread of the word of God. This is why the world was changed. It's because they were commissioned and they were doing the work of the ministry. Fishermen, tax collectors, people that, in other words, are just small in this world, are regular folks, your average Joe. But they were doing wonderful, powerful things for the glory of God. Why? Hey, it wasn't because Peter or John were more spiritual than we are. Yes, did they see Jesus face to face? Yes, did they hear him? Yes, were they able to touch him? But you know what? The Bible says, the Bible says when Jesus appeared to Thomas, he said, "I believe because I see." And Jesus said, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." Do you know that you are blessed? Do you know that you are privileged? Did you know that you are powerful? Did you know that your life has a call and a purpose and value to it? Each and every hurt, each and every decision, everything that you've been through, God can use for his glory. Don't discount anything in your life, because God can get the glory out of your life if you choose to let him. There's an old song that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." And the only way that we can trust in the name of Jesus is first to be totally convinced of the claims of who he is. Because if there's any shred of doubt, if there's any part of your mind that thinks that he is less than who he is, then you'll never be able to trust. You'll never be able to give him your hurts. You'll never be able to be fully used for the glory of God. We have got to first make up our minds as who the claims of Christ in our life, and allow him to use us. Because when we allow him to use us and we come together as one entity, as one body, with one commission to advance the kingdom of God, it's a powerful and beautiful thing. Amen? Now, we look at Paul and Barnabas, and we see how they were launched. Now, I want you to notice two things about this, about them and about this church. This church had people working under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They were prophets and teachers. They were praying and fasting, seeking God's will. Acts 13:3, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul to the work to which I have called them.'" This launched the church into the world. I want you to notice something here in this scripture. It says in Acts 13:3, it says, "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said." Do you know what happens whenever we plan, whenever we bring all of our strategies together and we come together in meetings and we come up with good plans over here and we come up with good plans over here? You know what happens at the end of the day in those plans? Nothing. The Bible says the difference is while they were fasting, while they were praising, while they were worshiping, while they were giving of themselves in prayer, the Holy Spirit said, all of our strategizing, all of our soul-winning strategery, all of our plans, all of our expectation, all of those things come to nothing if we do not fast, if we do not pray, if we do not give ourselves over to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's when we pray, it's when we fast, it's when we come before the Lord and give Him our heart that the Holy Spirit says. When the Holy Spirit tells us our battle commission, when He tells us what we are to be about, when He tells us what our life is to be about, it's then that we know the direction of our life. It's not about our planning. It's not about our strategizing. If that were true, I would not be here. I would be in Savannah, Tennessee, counseling kids as a child psychologist. That's what I was going to school for. But one day in Dallas, Texas, in 1991, in July, in one evening in a service, God changed my battle commission. And He said, I know you've been planning all of these years to be a child psychologist, but if you truly want to know my heart, I want you to be a pastor. If you truly want everything out of your life, if you truly want to make your life count, if you want your life to have more value than you could ever imagine, then leave this good thing over here. It's a good thing. And come and receive the better thing. I don't know about you, but I want to be obedient and I want that better thing. Amen. I don't want my plans to get in the way of what God has in store for my life. Because I can tell you 100% that I am totally fulfilled in what I'm doing. Because it's what God's heart is for my life. And as we come together as a body, and we allow God to use us and say, Lord, whatever your battle commission is for my life, I choose to be obedient. And whatever you want me to do in the local church to affect my community, you tell me. And I want to trust you and I want to obey. Because there's no other way to make you happy, Lord, than to trust you and obey. Amen? Now, 1 Corinthians 16, let's look at that. Start with verse 5. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 5. This is Paul talking. He said, after I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. But I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Now, notice what he is saying here. A great door for effective work, ministry, has opened to me, Paul says here. For he stays here for another 3 years. That's the longest he stayed anywhere, was 3 years. While Peter was there, he started a church, and many more were started. Ephesus became a major Christian stronghold. Why? Because one individual got knocked off his horse one day and was recommissioned and had his life redefined by the living Lord Jesus Christ himself. And because of it, Paul saw every opportunity to do good unto all men. He stayed there for 3 years, and he didn't just stay there. He was going somewhere else, but he wanted to stay there, and he stayed there for 3 years. This wasn't even part of his plan, but he decided to stay. And where he stayed, he worked. Where he stayed, he advanced the kingdom of God. Where he stayed, he spouted the claims of Jesus. He started a church. And because of it, other churches sprang up. And because of it, it was a major Christian hub for him. Now, Ephesus was not where most Christians wanted to be. The place was big. It was a big city. It had big city problems. Corruption was everywhere. There was a huge temple erected in the city, the temple of Diana. Basically, this was a god of animals, and that she could direct animals and all these different things. And everywhere that you see a huge temple, a major temple, you also realize that the commerce of that area was supported by that temple. People coming in worshiping, people selling things outside the temple gates. It was a major, major moneymaker for this city. And because of it, you would think that nobody would want to go there, especially Christians, because it was so dominated by this temple. But here they saw an opportunity. Here they saw an opportunity to advance the light into a dark place. I want you to understand, church, that when God puts something in your heart, and Wilma touched on it a little bit about not giving in your own means, but giving what God wants you to give. When God sends you and commissions you to do a task, he doesn't send you in so that you'll get eat up and spit out. He commissions you and sends you into a place, and he equips you to do the work of the ministry. When he sends you into a dark place, you can rest assured that what lives inside of you is the light and hope of the world. You bring hope by your presence, because inside of you houses the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. You know that song, This Little Light of Mine? I'm not going to sing anymore. But if you... The Bible says, the song says, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. And you know what? That's more than a children's song. Because the light that song is talking about is the light of the world, Jesus himself. Jesus and the Father doesn't house themselves in temples any longer, but we are living, breathing temples of the Holy Spirit. Where we go, Christ goes. Where we go, his love goes. Where we go, his mercy goes. Where we go, his acceptance goes. Where we go, his patience goes. And when that happens, we can call that beggar, tell him to take our hand and rise up and walk, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Amen? Because we are ambassadors everywhere we go, whether you be college students, whether you work in a factory, whether you work in nursing homes, whether you work in garment factories, whether you work in hospitals, whether you work with your hands, whether you're retired, whether you cut hair, whether you work for trunking companies, whatever you do, you go with the glory of God in your life. Amen? Because your life has value. Your life has purpose. I don't care what your mother, what your father, what your aunt or your uncle or your brother told you in life. I don't care if they showed you no love whatsoever and told you that you would become nothing. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, your life takes on more value than you can ever imagine. Jesus is able to wipe all of those things away and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is able to undo a life of people telling you that you're worthless And he is able to undo that in a matter of seconds if we will trust and obey. If we can get out of our own heads and see that my hands and feet can be the hands and feet of Jesus, that my hurts and my pains have value because I can walk someone else through what I've been through. Do you know that you can worship, this not in my notes, but you know you can worship God through your pain? You don't have to wait to worship God when you're healed. You don't have to worship God whenever you can pay your bills on time. You don't have to wait and worship God when your family's put back together. You don't have to wait and worship God whenever your life is lined up, A, B, C, and D. Worship God through your pain. Worship God through your confusion. Worship God through your lack. Because when you do that, you're confessing that Jesus is greater than your lack. He's greater than your hurt. He's greater than your disappointment. He's greater than your lot in life. Amen. Somebody give God glory. Amen. We have an opportunity as New Freedom Church, not any other church in this area, but New Freedom Church, to affect this area with the glory of God. Not infect this area with our problems. Not infect this area with our bad circumstances, but to affect this region with the power and glory of God. You have that opportunity. We have that opportunity as a church. We see that in Ephesus that not only was the crime rate bad, not only were they worshiping false idols, but we see that everything about this city was just godless. But yet, Paul said, I have a great door of effective work that has opened up. A great work, an effective work that has opened up. And he's looking past the darkness and he's saying, Lord, there's nothing in me that can affect anything. But through you, I will do whatever you want me to do. And because of it, this city was changed for the glory of God. Now, you know what the difference is between a pessimist and an optimist? The pessimist sees a problem in every opportunity, and an optimist sees opportunity in every problem. That's the kind of mentality that we have to have as believers, as soldiers for Christ, to look at that mountain and not be impressed. Not look at that mountain and see the easy way up, but say, Father, I want you to show me the hardest way up. I want you to show me a road that no one else is willing to go. And I want you to point me in the right direction. And I want you to fuel me. I want you to equip me. I want you to give me the strength and the heart to do it. And you know what? He will do it. He will do it. I want to encourage you today to push past your fear, push past your circumstances, push past your pain, and go forward with Jesus. Amen? Go forward with Jesus. Do we have that opportunity in Green Bay to advance the gospel? You better believe we do. I didn't move my family from Savannah, Tennessee to Green Bay, Wisconsin for nothing. I came to partner with you to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every soul and every listening ear that will lend me their ear. Amen? And we will do it together. God has given us the chance to seize the moment, to catch the vision of what can be. Are we ready to do what can be, church? Are we ready to do what no one other is willing to do? Are we willing to go to the least of these so that the least of these can see that their life has value? We are ready to go. My job is to equip. My job is to let you know what your life is to be about. My job is to lead the way, and I'm telling you, I am ready to lead. Are you ready to follow? Amen? I am ready to get it done. I am ready to grab every opportunity and count them. And count them as worthy. Count them as going forth and getting the job done for Jesus. Now, the question should be really put this way. Do we really care what happens to folks? Do we really care? Do we really care? Because believers seize those opportunities. And sometimes it catches us at times where, you know, loving folks doesn't just fit into our plans. It doesn't just fit into our budget. It doesn't fit into our time. It doesn't fit in helping people. It doesn't fit in. Matter of fact, it's more times inconvenient than not. But the Lord is saying, are you willing? Are you willing to roll up your sleeves? Are you willing to get down in the muck and the mire where people are and show them there's a better way? Show them there's a life that is worth living beyond their pain. Are you willing to go? I think what Wilma is doing is so vital, so important, because she's teaching people to use whatever tools God has given you for the glory of God, to affect your region, to affect your community. And we need to understand, church, that we are commissioned, that we've got to go, that we are to be about His business, not only on Sundays and Wednesdays, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, ready to lend our time, ready to lend our talents, ready to lend our treasures, willing to hold these things in life with loose fingers. That's how the church started in the book of Acts. The Bible says that they were selling off their goods. They were selling off property. They were selling off mules. They were selling off whatever they could so that they could distribute it to people in need. Now, I'm not asking you to go sell your house. I'm not asking you to change careers. I'm not asking you to change colleges or change majors or change this or that or the other. What I'm asking you to do is to be obedient. And church, if you'll be obedient, God will rearrange not only your life, but He'll use you to rearrange your church. He'll use you to rearrange your circle of influence. This world has seen enough of religion. This world needs to see the true Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, religion leaves you empty, leaves you wanting. It's not enough. Rules and regulations are not enough. I want Jesus or nothing. Amen? I want Jesus or nothing. Because it's Jesus and not religion that gives you value. It's Jesus and not religion that teaches you how to love. It's Jesus and religion and not religion that teaches you how to be long-suffering, how to get down in the muck and the mire and pick somebody up. It's Jesus. So I'm asking you this morning, as everybody stands, let's all stand together. I'm asking you this morning, will you be obedient? Will you obey? Will you listen? I want to challenge you on every level. If you're good with your hands, but you're not good in speaking, you're not good with teaching, you're not good with being around a bunch of people, maybe it just makes you nervous. But you can handle working with your hands, and whatever your hands do, you seem to fix. You seem to figure out a way to fix it that nobody else can. Use it. Use it. If you're good at computers and you're savvy in those areas and those directions, use it.
If you can sing, stop singing in the shower by yourself. Use it for the glory of God.
Some of you are nudging others.
Whatever you find your hands doing, do it for the glory of God. This morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward, not right now, but I want to ask you to do something. If you would, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about this. Just ask the Lord, Lord, am I willing to have my life rearranged for your glory? Am I willing to be put in places that make me feel uncomfortable? Am I willing to love beyond my bounds? Am I willing to trust you when it doesn't make any sense whatsoever? And I want you to contemplate that for a second. And if your answer is yes, I want you to come. I want you to come forward. If your answer is yes, this is no easy thing I'm asking. It's very difficult. Because we like to see the end. We like to have our hands on it. But today, if you're willing to trust in Jesus and say, Lord, whatever you desire of my life, I hand it over to you. If you're willing to do that, I want you to come forward. Because I'm going to pray over you. It's okay. Take your time. This is a question I had to settle within myself, and it took me a while. I had to settle it within myself. At all. You say, Pastor, I don't know about commission, but I was touched by your message and I feel God moving on me, and I want to receive him as Lord and Savior this morning. If that's you, I want you to come forward. God's going to save you. Then he's going to commission you. He's going to save you, heal you. He's going to commission you. Hallelujah. 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 Come up for salvation. I want to make sure that I see you. If that's you, would you raise your hand so that I can pray with you this morning? If you come up for salvation. Okay. This is what I want us to do. I'm not going to ask you if you feel comfortable. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands. What this is, it's an act of surrender. Everybody that's down here, come forward. I want you to raise your hands. Just raise them up like this. This is a total act of surrender. The police comes in and they, first thing they'd say is, put your hands up. The reason why they say put your hands up is because they want to see your hands as a sign of surrender, that you're not a threat anymore, that you have totally surrendered yourself over. Father, this is what's going to happen when I pray. When I pray, I want you just begin to thank God. Just begin to thank Him. Open up your mouth. Begin to worship the Lord. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for each and every heart that is down here at this altar, that is in this room. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would begin to reveal your heart to each and every person. God, that you would begin to reveal your call, your purpose, your plan for their life in Jesus' name. God, their life is not over. Their life has value. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would put themselves out of the way so that you can move in their life. God, give them the courage. Give them the tenacity. Give them the boldness to follow you when they can't see what's around the corner. And I pray, Father, that as their faith arises, that they would begin to look at that mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done. Father, as their pastor, I commission them. I set them forward with the call of God in their life. Use every hurt. Use every negative influence. Use everything that is meant for their destruction to bring about your glory in Jesus' name. Father, may they be filled with your Spirit. May they become sons and daughters of God that advance the kingdom of God, not by might, not by my own power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. And I ask you, Father, to fill them with your love, fill them with your compassion, fill them with your purpose in Jesus' name. Use the least of these, which is all of us, Lord, to accomplish great things for your glory. I just want you to begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Father, that you've called me. Thank you, God, that you set purpose in my life. Thank you, Lord, that I no longer have to live in fear. Thank you, Lord, I no longer have to live by what somebody else says about me. But, Lord, I trust in your word. I trust in your word that I am your son and I am your daughter. And Lord, I submit to you with all of my heart. I submit to you. Lord, whatever you desire, whatever you long for, whatever it is that is inside of me, Lord, your word declares that you know me so intimately that you have the hairs on my head numbered. Your word declares that you have set every day in your book for my life. And Lord, because of that, I know that you know me intimately. I know that you know me because you formed me in my mother's womb, because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Has anybody ever said that about your life before? That you're fearfully and wonderfully made? God loves you this morning. His heart is towards you this morning. His love and passion for your life is beyond limits. And this morning, Father, I ask that you would bring that revelation to every hurting heart, every wounded soul, and bring your restoration to their life. Bring healing this morning. As we trust you, as we move forward, Father, help us to use our faith and not our own understanding. But in all of our ways, we will acknowledge you. And you will make our path straight. You will direct our path. Father, I thank you and praise you, my Lord, for each willing heart this morning. Use us. Use us individually, Lord, as we go and disperse into the city of Green Bay. Use us. And as we come together on Wednesday nights to study your word, and as we come together on Sunday mornings to worship together and to celebrate together and to glean from your word, I ask, Father, that you would cause us to affect this city for the glory of God. I give you permission, Lord, to use my life in any way you see fit. All to your glory. Help me, Father, to follow you by faith and not by sight. Because, Lord, my sight causes me to fear. My sight causes me to doubt. But, Lord, help me to be led by your Spirit so that you can direct my path when I can't see. Say this with me this morning. Lord Jesus, I give you permission to use my life, to use my hurts for the glory of God, no matter what it looks like and no matter what your call is on my life. I choose to trust. I choose to love. I choose to go forth, whether it be in my pain or my suffering. I choose to shed the love of God on every listening ear. God, equip me and use me. I am yours from this moment on. I have no more loves in my life but you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this to you. That kind of praying, that kind of believing will set the world on fire. That kind of praying, that kind of believing will set your family on fire. That kind of praying, that kind of believing will cause you to be transformed in something you never thought was possible. These are not some Mickey Mouse prayers. These are life-altering prayers. And I encourage you today to go in all the strength of the Lord.